What is up, everyone? This is episode 2 of Godology. Today with me, I have Mr. David Colbert.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's good to be on this podcast.
This is one of my best friends. He's done a lot for me. He's helped me in a lot of situations. He's given me a lot of guidance throughout the years that I've kind of been, you know, searching for God. He's given me a lot of answers that I wasn't able to find otherwise, and so I'm really thankful for this guy, and I'm glad to be talking to him today. But the first question that I want to ask is, how was your day today?
Well, first of all, it's 10 times better. You totally inflated my ego right there. So
your head probably got 10 inches larger.
Yeah, exactly, man. I'm other than totally blushing right now, right? No, man. I'm good. Life's good. I've had a really good day, really productive day. My dad's feeling a little under the weather. I was able to help him out a little bit. So it was good. It was good to see him hang out with the family for a little bit. And now I'm just chilling at home, man. So it's been a solid day. How about you? How have you been?
My day's been pretty good. You know, I had my photo shoot for my graduation, you know, cause I'm a senior this year. And so I had my photo shoot at a few different locations, and that took a while, and it was actually really exhausting for some reason. You know, I was just kind of walking around a lot. But yeah, that was after.
Yeah.
It was actually funny because this morning I woke up thinking that I had to be at work at 7, and I actually didn't have to be there till 8:30. And yeah, I woke up at 6:30 in a panic because I was afraid that I had to be there in like 30 minutes. And it takes me more than 15 minutes to get there and more than 15 minutes to get ready. So.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. I've had moments like that where I'd wake up at like, say I'd wake up, I fall asleep in the afternoon at like 4 o'clock, and I wake up at 6:30. And whenever I was with, living with my parents, my parents would just play along. Like it would be 6:30 and it'd be dark. So you'd think it could be the morning, right? So I thought I slept all the way through the night. I thought I napped all the way through the night. And then my parents would just play along with me saying, okay, you got to get up, David, you got to get ready for school. And I'd start putting on my clothes and stuff like that. And then I'd feel totally pumped.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Your parents are the coolest. What the heck?
Dude, it's savagery. I had to grow a thick skin living with them. They would mess with me all the time. But anyway, I know how you feel about that. Just anxiety of like feeling like you slept in. It's so fun.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, I woke up this morning and I literally didn't even realize I had to be there until 8:30. Until I was on my way there. I work with my grandmother, my Nana, so I call her. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, mm-hmm. She's absolutely amazing. She lives close to my work. And she texted me after I told her that I was on my way to work at 7 o'clock. And she was like, why are you going so early? You don't have to be there till 8:30. And so, you know, she was already up. She said she was making some biscuits and gravy. So I headed over there, had me a nice breakfast.
Hey, heck yeah.
Absolutely.
Nanas are awesome.
Nanas are the freaking best, man.
Nanas rule, dude.
Absolutely. So I wanted to ask you, just because I've known you such a long time and you've always been able to answer my theology questions, I may throw some absolutely complex ones. And I know that you're really, really into like more of the Old Testament and more familiar with it.
Yeah, I dig it.
Yeah. But anyways, I know that you're hardcore into theology, but I want to know, like, what's your story with Christianity? Like, where did it all begin? How did it start? Where did it start? You know, I just want to know your whole testimony, I guess.
Well, okay. Starting out with the easy questions.
Absolutely.
All right. Okay. So I'll dive right in it. Well, my home life, you know, it was awesome. I loved both my parents. But you know how it is. You know, parents sometimes, you know, they stick together, and some people have those really awesome stories of having two parents in the same house, at the same time. But unfortunately, but through God's providence, it worked. I'm just not one of those people. I don't have that story. My dad had been in and out of the house quite a few times. And by the time I was like, by the time I was in my like late teens, my dad had been in and out of the house about five times. My parents always tried to make it work. But there would always be something that, that, you know, took him out of the house. Growing up in that environment, I never really understood. I started asking questions at a young age, about like, listen, if this God that my parents are taking me to church to get to know, if he's so great, and if he's so against like stuff like divorce, broken homes, stuff like that, then why is it so common? You know what I mean? Like, I started asking those questions, and the early connections I made as an elementary school student, not to paint like a sob story, right? I hate like doing sob stories, but I mean, I'm sure you were too. Mm-hmm. I was bullied a little bit as a student. I'm sure we all were at some degree. But I was raised in a Christian school. And this whole thing, my whole testimony is I was raised in church. I was raised in a Christian school, in a Christian environment. But what I heard on Sundays never really tapped into my day-to-day experience with people who call themselves Christians, be it Christian bullies or just people not living up to the standards that they were constantly feeding me. Mm-hmm. At my Christian schools, at my Sunday school, at the Sunday service, whatever. So I get to this point where I'm 13, dude. And as somebody who was raised in a Christian school, you know, I started preschool in a church. I was in preschool and it was a church. And then same with kindergarten, all the way through elementary school up to this point where I'm 13, I'm in seventh grade. And I've been raised knowing the Bible, like head knowledge of the Bible, right? Mm-hmm. In Christian school, you've got your Bible classes every single morning, and you have a chapel service every Friday. And then you got Sunday service. So I was fairly familiar with the Bible when I was a kid. I'm sure a lot of Christian school kids out there who are listening can relate, right? We know the struggle.
Yeah.
I myself, now I teach at one. So I know it's real. I know it's real. So, but anyway, so by that time I started combating, I started like debating my teachers. I just got so frustrated with people not owning up to their faith. And I started debating teachers, like having one-on-one with them and like freaking vomiting out like how I felt. And I called myself, dude, at 13 years old, dude, I called myself an atheist. Like I did not believe in God.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, I was angry, angrily atheist.
Wow, and it had
nothing to do with like, yeah. And it had nothing to do. The thing is like, it had nothing to do with science, had nothing to do with like any like logic, whatever. It was simply like, you say you believe in a God that is loving, merciful, kind, all these awesome things. You say you're going to follow him. But dude, look at your day-to-day life. Look at how I've seen you treat people. Look how I've seen you treat me. Look at my living situation. Look at my school situation. It doesn't add up. And my logic was, therefore, that God probably doesn't exist because, you know what? If he could really transform a life, then I would see more transformation in the people around me. So I would go and debate these teachers about this. Well, further in my seventh grade career, right? I was very angry, very angsty, very, very, very upset and angry all the time. One of my teachers said something totally honest while I was giving him this verbiage of, you know, I don't think God's real. I don't think he loves me, all this stuff. And he ends up saying, David, I hope that one day you get to meet God. You get to have a relationship with God. And it was the first time that somebody didn't try to persuade me, to speak to me on a lower level. It was somebody honestly saying that he hopes this for me.
Wow, that's awesome.
And it was crazy because it worked. it led me to go into the bathroom. I asked to go to the bathroom, and I prayed and I said, "Listen, God, Jesus, sir, if you're real, just show me something. Doesn't matter how ugly. Doesn't show me how awesome. Just give me a sign, and I will take it like it's. I'll take it like literally, like it's gospel. So give me a sign. Show me something, and I'll believe you." A couple weeks later, I think about two weeks later, my mother has been visiting the doctor. She hasn't been, you know, feeling all that great. She's, she doesn't know. She feels like something's wrong. So she goes to the doctor, and she gets diagnosed with skin cancer, with malignant melanoma. And at that point, Dylan, like, no lie, at that point, I took that as a sign. I took that as a sign that God's real.
You took like the diagnosing of your mom having that skin cancer. You took that as the sign?
I took that as the sign. I did immediately. It was just so out of the ordinary and so out of the blue and just so true to my request that I said, I told him I was down to believe anything if he just gave me something. And I took that as something totally out of the ordinary. It wasn't a great thing to experience, but it was definitely something that I didn't expect. Something and it sparked something in me to say this: listen, she has this thing, and now I'm gonna believe if you're the God of healing that everybody's talking about, I believe you can heal her.
Wow.
So at that point, so my mom had a couple surgeries, right? I want to give props to the doctors and surgeons and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But my mom ended up having a couple surgeries, and a lot of prayer. And I started praying for my mom. And after those surgeries, and after that time of healing, in I would say much less than a year, my mom ended up in remission, totally cancer free, and she has been for 13 years.
Heck yeah!
So my mom is healed of cancer. It has not shown up again. She's totally healed of cancer. So I believe the God who I would say allowed cancer to enter my mother, I also believe in that same God to get rid of it. And he came through. He was true to his word. And I've been following him ever since.
Wow. That's a really good story. And I'm glad you honestly told us about that, because you know, some people might be dealing with the same thing. You know, how do I know that people exist? You know, a lot of people out there have issues with people that say that they're Christians but don't act like it. There are people out there that wear the cross on their neck but don't wear the cross on their back, you know?
Ooh, that's good. That's
I know.
True.
That hit a little bit hard as I was saying it. Wow, that was God.
That's good, man.
But like, I feel like a lot of people have issues with that. And I honestly feel like that's the reason there are so many atheists out there, just because there are people out there that don't live like they're called to by Jesus. You know,
mm-hmm.
We're called to live like Christ and show Christ through our daily life. But I don't think that's happening with a lot of the people that are out there. And I believe that that's because they haven't asked God to come into their life.
Yeah,
because I'm just like you. I didn't really believe in him that much. My thing is that, you know, I believed in him. I grew up all my life in a Christian church, and I believed in him. I knew he was God. I knew he was real. And the thing is, I didn't really fear him, and I didn't really understand his love until I went through a huge breakup. And then once I went through that huge breakup, I said, God, find me. I'm broken. Please heal me. And then I found him. I know his love. Now I want to chase him, and I want to live like Jesus did. And I feel like it's not that we need to be mended towards the ideal person that Christianity is kind of pushing us towards. It's more that God's love sets us on a path that really molds us into the person that we're supposed to be. And it all comes down to actually knowing God and having a relationship with God. And that's just something that, that's something that I believe and something that I was kind of taught whenever I was growing up by my Nana, actually. She would, you know, some Sundays I wouldn't want to go to church because, frankly, when I was a kid, I thought church was boring. And so something that my Nana would do is she would say, okay, we're not going to church, but we are going to the mountains to spend time with God and spend time with family. She made sure that I spent time with God because that's what's most important.
Yes.
And that kind of goes into the whole thing about, you know, the church not being inside the four walls, but being with the people around us. I went to basically my own private church service, which was my Nana, my Paul, my sister, and me. Literally, that's all it consisted of. And it was just absolutely beautiful. One of the best moments of my life. It was so important because it taught me what it's like to have a relationship. And I didn't even realize how important it was until 2 years ago when I really, like, pretty much pulled a 180. I did a full 180.
Crazy.
But, you know, I just think that's really cool because it's like the same story, but different stories, you know?
Yeah.
It's mainly about having that relationship with God. But yeah, that's a really cool story. I didn't know all of those details, and I'm really glad that I know those details. And I'm glad to have gotten those details just in case someone listening to this is going through that.
And heck so yeah. Heck
if,
yeah.
If someone, that's why I'm doing this podcast, is to talk about personal testimonies to see if other people are going through it so that they can know what to do if they want to pursue God, you know?
For real.
But I want to ask you this next question. What would you say is your calling?
Okay. Well, once again, bringing in those very, very easy to answer questions.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the one thing that God has put over my life has been to help guide people to where God has called them to be. Be that through, like, if God gives me the platform of preaching, if God gives me the platform of teaching, if God gives me the platform of just one-on-one discipleship or counseling or whatever, but I know that God has put a burden on my heart, like an intense burden to make sure that people who are under my watch in any way, shape, or form, like under my care, any way, shape, or form, I make sure that they reach the potential that God has called them to live.
Okay.
So I guess that's what you could say, like, what I'm called to do. Now, if somebody wants to label that as, like, oh, well, you're called to be this, that, or the other thing, you know, that's up to them. But for me, I know my, if I achieve a title, for example, if I get a title to be a pastor, right? If my call, if I eventually get the title to be a pastor, I know it's because first I did the pastor's job. I did the pastor's work to care for, to develop, to equip, and to speak life into people who are looking for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So in a nutshell, I guess that's what I'm called to, man.
Wow.
That's what I'm about.
That's really awesome. And that's a really cool story too.
Dude, hey, it's whatever God wants. But I know, you know, Jesus did it with 12 people. And he's called all of us to disciple people in one way or another. So
mm-hmm.
I'm all in.
Yeah. I agree with you there, you know. I might have like a future in one spot that God calls me to, but overall I'd say my calling is to lead people to the beauty of Christ, pretty much. Like,
heck yeah.
Lead people to the peace that comes with knowing God.
Mm.
So that'd probably have to, that'd
Maybe.
have to be my calling.
That's good, bro.
But I know that right now you're involved with a bunch of different ministries. You're involved with this ministry called Nomad, which is for people 18 and above. And
Heck yeah.
you're also a drummer for iChurch Worship. What else do you have going on?
Whew. All right. Well, I've been involved with the church called iChurch. Shout out to iChurch, right?
Whoop,
I've been part of that church. Yeah, heck yeah. For about over 6 years now, a little over 6 years.
whoop.
And for that amount of time, like I've done a bunch of things there. I've done, I've been a, like you said, I've been a drummer for the worship band. I've helped out in youth. I've been given the opportunity to even speak, to like, gosh, what is it? To like junior high level students. Shout out to Reset. Been
Yeah.
able to do that a couple times, so that's really cool. I've been blessed enough to go out on the mission field, and help out our church in Mexico. Let's see. I run Nomad, which is like what you said, it's an 18 and above ministry. It's set in Hickory. And it's all about just finding community in a stage of life that is full of unknowns. And we just want to be like, we want to be a sense of like, this is known. You are known by us. You're loved by us. Whether you choose to go to college or straight to work, if you're getting married, if you're, if you're just in that state of unknowing or that big, oh my gosh, what's next? That 18 years and kind of around that age is, we want to be a place of community for that. And I love that statement that you made about bringing people to the beauty of Christ. I see us as bringing people to do that through a sense of community, being out in the city, and just taking over as a ministry, taking over restaurants or coffee shops or town squares or whatever. But we just show up, hang out, have a good family time, and really, really dig into the word together, dig into scripture together. So that's Nomad, and probably forgot a couple other things. Oh, I've done parking, like parking lot a couple of times, have helped park people, have helped greet people. There was a time where I worked cameras. So dude, that's why I'm like, you can put a title on whatever, but as long as you know the call to action that God has over your life, like you can apply that anywhere you go. If you're working at church or if you're working at your job or you're at school, if you know what you're called to do more than the title that you are called to, you can take that and apply it anywhere. You can put it in cameras, parking, greeting, whatever, it or preaching.
It really gives a
I've
purpose
had,
to whatever you're doing.
oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah. Because then you're no longer like, oh, I'm just the camera guy, or oh, I'm just parking people, or oh, I'm just shaking people's hands. Like, everything you do has a heartbeat, it has a pulse to it. And it brings, like you said, it brings a purpose to whatever you do. So you got to know what God has called you to do, what the work he has called you to do, much more than a title. Because you could get caught up on, well, a preacher wouldn't do this, or like, well, a writer wouldn't do this. You can kind of take off those shackles and really experience freedom and doing whatever God has called you to do. Just say yes, and you can implement that call wherever you're at. Oh, and I wrote blogs for the church for a while too. That was fun. That was fun.
All right. So, out of all the ministry that you have done, I want to ask you, what has been your most memorable ministry moment?
Whew, okay. Most memorable ministry moment. I would say, gosh, I would say, because I whenever we were talking before the beginning of this podcast, and I saw kind of the question so I could prep, dude, I could still give like story after story after story. So I'm gonna hone it down. Okay. I'm gonna make sure that I give one of the amazing stories that God's allowed in my life. Most amazing, memorable ministry moment would probably be, I would say, you know what? I'll go with this. It's the one that keeps popping into my head. So maybe God wants to use it. It was my very first Nomad. It was October 2018. It was my very first Nomad gathering. And we would gather Saturday at 6 o'clock on Saturdays at 6 o'clock. And we would keep the same location. We keep the same location every month, and then we switch it and we go somewhere else in the community. That's why we're called a Nomad. We move around. But the first meeting we ever had, it was in a coffee shop downtown. For those of you who are listening, it's Hickory. I live in Hickory, North Carolina, and it was during our Oktoberfest that day. So it was Saturday. It was Oktoberfest. There'd be a lot of people in the coffee shop. Had this great idea to open up in that coffee shop, open up a Nomad event right there, a Nomad gathering right there. And dude, I kid you not, out of like the social media posts and the personal invitations and this, that, or the other thing, dude, two people showed up.
Wow.
Two people showed up. Yeah. Three, including me. One, I can hardly even count because she's my wife. And she's got to be there. She's there to support me in ministry. And she was like, you know what? She went with, you know, we took one car to Oktoberfest that day. So we just had to stay, you know? So, you know, so I'm like, whew, that hit me in a way where I was like, I did the planning. I did the vision casting. I had my team. I tried to get my team together and all this stuff. And I had an early team of people I had a core team of about seven people. So I'm pretty sure I could count on seven people to show up. It was just two. It was just two people. And God was teaching me at that moment. He said, son, teach this lesson like you were going to teach to those people that you invited. Teach as if you were teaching to 100 people. Teach as if you were teaching at this huge table that I had a conference table right there. Teach as if that table was full. And as I was teaching those two people, done, I kid you not, another person came in and sat down. Another person came in. A family of three came in and sat down. And person after person after person after person. First Nomad meeting, I believe, I'm trying to remember, like my memory serves me right, I think 11 people showed up. And it was because, as the scriptures say, be faithful in the few, and God will put you above the plenty.
Oh my gosh.
And it's very, very true. And I've had, you know, just the nature of the ministry, I've had 10 people show up now. I've had 20 people show up, but now in Nomad, like it's never under, like I would be remiss to say that we're never under 20 people in a restaurant on a Saturday night now. And we're still a baby ministry, dude. Like we're not even 2 years old, but I'm just like God is providing growth and it's new people, old people. We always have at least one new person every week. And it's just because it started at that coffee shop. And I think, dude, and I believe it. If I had given up, if I had not taught in the way that God taught me to teach, I don't believe the ministry would have kicked off.
Wow.
And now we're seeing the fruit of that labor.
Oh my gosh.
You know, and by the time we're listening right now, you know, if you're listening right now and it's past the coronavirus time, good for you. We made it out. But right now we're still in the thick of it. But we can't gather, but we're seeing social media posts on our Nomad page skyrocket, dude, to about 800 to sometimes you know, up 800, 900, I would, you know, maybe even 1,000 people on some of our posts.
Wow.
We're reaching. We're God is allowing us to reach people far, far away. And it just starts with faithfulness. So anybody who's thinking about starting a ministry, I just want to pause for a minute and say, listen, it just takes you saying yes. It just takes a faithful ear to the voice of God.
Because God's not really looking for perfect people. He's looking for those that are willing.
Absolutely. Absolutely, dude. Hit the nail on the head. He's looking for willing people, mm-hmm. not perfect people. Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself. 100%.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. That's wild. That literally you had two people show up. God told you to be faithful in the few. And look at you now. You have about 20... Or you never have less than 20 every meeting. And
yeah.
That was all because, you know, God told you to be faithful in the few. You told me that quite a few times because of the, you know, the Ignite Club that I had started at my school. And, you know,
yeah.
I told you one time, I was like, listen, literally one other person showed up and... You told me just to be faithful in a few. Thank goodness I did. And I didn't give up at that time because I was thinking about giving up really hardcore. But the last Ignite meeting that we had, we probably had like 15 people show up. You know, it took a lot of preparation. It took a lot of planning. And I'm sad to see it go this year because I'm leaving high school. But I left it in the hands of someone that is more than like, they are, I wouldn't have been able to choose a better person. Because God chose that person. And I'm really glad I'm really glad to see that happen. And I really can't wait to see how much it's going to grow. But, you know, I just want to thank you just for telling me to be faithful in the few, because you've experienced it firsthand because of that story. And I want to thank you for telling me that about the whole faithful in the few thing.
Well, dude, yeah, hey, man, I'm honored to be part of this, and thank you for sticking with me, man. Like, you know, I am blessed to be part of your life, man. I'm blessed to be part of the ministry that you're part of, and now this podcast is up and going, and you know, who knows where it's headed, right? Like, it's just been a blessing.
Absolutely.
And God's not done with us, man. So.
No, he's not.
So let's keep going. Let's keep going. Let's keep growing.
Absolutely. So I want to ask you a deep theological question. It's gonna get very deep.
Okay.
All right. So are you ready?
Let's go. Let's go.
Okay.
I'm prepped.
What happens to a person that doesn't know Jesus, but is correct in every other moral that coincides with Christianity? Say, someone that believes, someone that's a Buddhist, and they are a monk. You know, I don't know if Buddhists are monks. You know a little bit more about other religions than I do. But let's say that there is a person that is a monk. They live in a temple, dedicate their lives to the God that they know, or the God that, you know, they believe in. They don't do anything that we would consider sin. Necessarily, mm-hmm. other than the whole idolatry thing, you know, believing in another God. What happens if they didn't even get a chance to know Jesus? You know what, like they don't deserve to burn because they never really got a chance. But at the same time, you know, they don't believe in Jesus, and in the Bible it says that Jesus is the only way into heaven. So, like, how would you answer that question?
Gotcha. Now, if you'll allow me, I want to separate this question into two different groups because I feel like this question could get like we could talk about it forever. But I want to break this question into two distinct groups.
Okay.
One of which being the people who never had a chance to hear the gospel, and people who have rejected the gospel. I want to break those two words down or those two groups down. And just so I don't go over anybody's head, because I could go really deep into this. When I say the gospel, I mean literally the good news about Jesus Christ, that okay. he came, that he died, he resurrected, he ascended. He did all this for you and wants to have a relationship with you.
Okay.
That's what I mean by the gospel. That's the good news of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
So for those people who have never, ever, ever had an opportunity to know the word of God, to know Jesus Christ, never had access to a Bible, stuff like that. I believe, and I think we can break this down, especially in Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 2 specifically. Those of you who are listening, just read it at home, where the Bible states that God has revealed himself to all people, all things, all creation. He has revealed himself in a way that we would call general revelation. When I say general revelation, I mean that God has made his personality known through nature, through human interaction, like through love relationship, the love of a parent, the love of a friend, the love of a spouse. God has given his personality traits in such a way, in general revelation, that everyone has been exposed to the personality of God in one way, shape, or form. So, for those who have never heard the gospel, this general revelation, many Christians believe, I'm in that camp. iChurch doesn't really make a claim to this, but my personal belief is that general revelation is also a saving grace for people who have never heard the gospel, who never had an opportunity to hear the gospel. It's almost like a grace of, I hate using the word, but like a grace of ignorance. Like I don't know any better, but because of God's general revelation, maybe I've tapped into something that is truly of God, and I've been able to live a life honoring to God through that general revelation.
So would you say that some people experience that force of God through that nature, but just give it a different name?
That's interesting. I mean, I'll say this because we could, like I said, we could spend hours into this. Like, you could take that love and that personality trait, that revelation, and make it into an idol. And at that point, you know, personally, I'm not God, but I don't know, and I don't think God honors idolatry. But on the other end, you know, I've heard the phrase, if it looks like a duck, talks like a duck, you know, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. So, you know, some people, I don't want to boil it down to a specific like way of life, but I think that there are some people who take that knowledge of God, that general knowledge of God, and are able to run with it, because they never had a chance to hear the gospel. And of course, if they don't know the name of Jesus, you know, they may say some other name, they may call it another name. Since that person never had a chance to reject the gospel, you know, that general revelation, and a sense of conscience is able to work, for them to understand a little bit, I think, of who God is. I think there is a saving grace in that people, not everybody's heard the gospel in this point in time. And, you know, if they never had the opportunity, I don't know if all of them are going to, you know, not all of them are going to, I don't think all of them are going to burn. Definitely don't think all of them will end up in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are plenty of people, I would say more people than not, who take that general revelation and abuse it. And we can see that with all the crazy injustice in the world, in any part of the world. And so I can't just say somebody looks at the sun and is saved, you know, like the sun in the sky, and they're immediately saved, because heck, you know, that person could be the next warlord, you know?
Yeah.
But on the other end, I think that there are some people who who take that, who see that and are able to grasp that general revelation. So that's kind of what I think in that camp. Okay. The second camp is what I would say for people who straight up reject the gospel. And I would take that as anybody who has been in any part of the world where Christianity has made it there. Any missionary has ever made it there. You have had you've had like an opportunity to accept or to reject the gospel there. So, for those who reject the gospel, you know, when we talk about hell and stuff, my personal view is that God doesn't send people to hell. People are already on their way there. Okay. That's my personal belief, because the wages of sin is death. Once again, read the book of Romans. Like it's fantastic. The wages of sin is death. I've earned that. I've been earning my wages all my life. And if I continue to earn my wages and reject the gospel, to reject that good news, then I'm just going where I already want to go. I don't want to be in God's presence anyway if I continually reject the good news. So I'll continue to walk down that path away from him. And God, you know, God knows that. And God respect, you know, in a weird way, God respects it. He's not going to force himself on anybody.
Yeah.
So he allows people to go. He allows people to their own devices.
Okay.
So I guess those would be my two camps of people who have never had the chance to hear the gospel, and then people who reject it. Because then we could also get into this point of, well, I can't earn my salvation. So if I believe it, like your question was, I like how you said your question, because if people just follow the morals of Jesus, I'm sorry, like that's not enough to save you. Jesus alone saves. So if I just live my life trying to follow his morals, I just see him as a moral teacher. And his moral teachings they don't save people. Like if you read, you know, Jesus's teachings in the Gospels, his teachings don't save you. His teachings are for the saved, but his teachings themselves don't save you. The saving work, the saving grace was whenever he died on the cross. He died a death for you and me, took on the debt of our sin. He took all of our wages of sin that we could never pay back. And he took them on himself, and he canceled our debt. You know,
so
and
you'd say that learning about Jesus' death, you whenever you fully understand it, and well, no one can fully understand it, but once you have that final like event where it hits you, like holy crap, Jesus is amazing, then you'll naturally want to live more like Jesus, and that's what the teachings are for, correct?
Yes. Yes. Jesus is teaching. Like, I don't think I'm positive you can't find it in the Bible anywhere where Jesus straight up says, listen, you follow every single outline of teachings that I've said and you're good to go. No, he doesn't say that. He never says that. He says, take up your cross and follow me. And even in his saying, like whenever you said cross on your back, not on your neck, the way to live like Jesus is to be like Jesus in his sacrifice, you know, sacrificing your life for him, saying, God, this isn't my life, it's yours. I give my life to you. So it's him, the saving act is him on the cross and him raising 3 days later. And when people say, well, I can act like Jesus, that's fantastic. But you can act like Jesus, you know, 9 times a day, but you're still going to act not like Jesus infinite amount of times more, because that's just who we are. Like the standards, if I have to work to make my way into heaven, dude, I'm going to lose it every day. That's what we call grace. Mm-hmm. So people who say, listen, I've got the moral thing down. I can walk a moral life. I can live a moral life. I'll say great, but don't expect that to save you, because Jesus is not a relationship with Jesus is not about working. It's about living in grace. Mm-hmm. Because I can't earn salvation. I can't earn what Jesus did on the cross. He did it, and he alone could do it.
That's so, really good.
So living in grace, that is proof of salvation. That is, whenever I receive that grace, that's salvation at work. Not me trying to work and live a moral life. Because Jesus didn't come to teach us morals. He taught us to live like him in his death, in his resurrection, in all of it.
Mm-hmm. All right. That is really awesome. And I want to say a quick word for the people that are out there that might not have had that final, like, might not have had that amazing convention with God.
If you've never had this one-on-one talk, as you may have said, listen, I don't even know what a Heavenly Father is like. I don't know what family is even like. God's ready right now to say, son, daughter, let's have this talk. I want you to know me. You've been living your life in a way where you think that you can work for my love, but you can't work for something that you already have. God says you already have my love. God says, my daughter, my son, you already have my attention. I'm trying to get your attention. So right now, Dylan and I are spilling our hearts out for you right now. Just sit down and have this talk with God. And if you're ready to make that commitment to say, I'm ready to finally feel like I don't have to earn the attention of my Father. I don't have to earn the attention of God. If you're ready to speak like that, I want you to follow this prayer. I want you to say, Jesus, you are Lord, you are King, you are God. And I am ready right now. Repeat this after me. I'm ready right now to commit my life to you, because I'm tired of running and I'm tired of trying to earn a love that is already there for me. I accept you into my life right now, Lord Jesus. Take control. I don't want to live to myself anymore. I want to live for you. I believe you. I receive you. I believe that you died for me on a cross, that you didn't deserve it, and that you were raised from the dead 3 days later. So now when I die, I can live with you too. I believe you and I love you, and I'm ready to walk in the grace that you have for me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much, David. I really appreciate what you're doing for us and what you're doing for the people out there that need it. I want every single person out there to have that amazing meeting with God, just where you finally get to fully experience God's love and God's presence, so that naturally you'll want to live like Jesus. And I feel like that's my calling, is to allow people to experience God like that. But I want to thank you so much, David, for joining on today. I think this is going to be the end of the episode just for today.
Hey, I'm down. Dude, this was a lot of fun, man. Thank you for having me. Everybody who's listening, thanks for listening to me ramble for a little bit. It's been an honor and a blessing.
It's been a blessing.
Love this ministry.
It's been a blessing to have you on, absolutely. I really appreciate you. I thank you so much. I will talk to you later, David.
All right, man. Keep this thing up. This is going to reach a bunch of people, man. I believe in you.
Thank you.
Like, for real, I believe in you. Let's keep going. Let's do this.
Thank you.
And it's in, of course. I love you guys. I'll talk to you. Hopefully I'll be able to talk to you again. Have a good night, guys.
All right. So this is the end of it. I'll be back with another episode for you next week. I love you guys. God bless.